Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Highly Questionable. I am Bomani Jones. I'm not used to actually introducing myself when we start this show. Katie Nolan on one side, Izzy Gutierrez on the other. Y'all ready to rock?
Let's do it.
The only Hispanic left.
Ah, yes. Representation.
I hated that I said let's do it, and I really appreciate that you said that.
Would it make sense for the Jaguars to break the bank for Urban Meyer?
All right, so this is what we are hearing now as the coaching carousel begins. It seems like a team has done that thing where they're like, Rooney Rule? What Rooney Rule? We know what white man we want. And the white man that Jacksonville seems to want is Urban Meyer. And word is that Shad Khan would be willing to offer him $12 million a year to coach the team. I'm not pocket watching, so I don't really care so much about the fact that they would give him $12 million. There is no coaching salary cap. If you want to do that, go ahead, because that's probably what it would cost to get Urban Meyer to coach your team. My question is, how many years are you talking about on that deal? Are you talking about like a John Gruden 10-year deal? Because that would be a horrible idea. True story on Urban Meyer. He's only had two seasons as a coach with more than three losses in college. One time he lost four games in Tim Tebow's year where he won the Heisman. Then he had a five-loss season at Florida. You know what he did after it? Quit his job because he was so burnt out. This is not a dude that's built for the long haul. Like, do you think that you can win a championship with Urban Meyer in 3 or 4 years? Because that's basically what he did at all his college stops. And then not too long after that, it was time for Urban Meyer to go. So give him the $12 million a year. I need to know how many years you're talking about giving him.
Well, I'm not worried about breaking the bank. I'm not even worried about how many years, although you make a great point there because he seems to flame out pretty quickly after he wins. What I'm worried about is what his strengths are as an NFL coach, Bo. And I can ask both of you guys because I don't know what that is. His biggest strength as a college coach is essentially creating a culture. Yeah, he did a lot of work with that spread offense and he won championships with that. But is that innovative today? Do we have any idea he's going to come in with, by the way, an abundance of riches in that Jacksonville draft this year, right? You're coming in a great situation, potentially with the number one quarterback drafted in Trevor Lawrence. If you don't have the respect of the players in that locker room, it doesn't really matter what you're bringing in unless you're bringing in something crazy innovative. And I don't think he has that. We've seen Cliff Kingsbury try to do that in Arizona, and that's flamed out pretty quickly. So what are Urban Meyer's strengths that he's going to come in and own that locker room and bring the Jaguars into a legitimate team? I don't see it yet. I know I'm not paying that kind of money. I'd rather pay it to Eric Bieniemy, a guy that I know can take that offense to great places.
Well, it's funny, Izzy, because you say he creates a culture, which Urban Meyer unmistakably does. Is the culture necessarily good? Like, for the three people who watched my show, you know that I've got my own issues with Urban Meyer, but I would be foolish to think that those are issues that anybody making a decision involving coaching a football team cares about those. So what's interesting to me, for if you're going to spend the money on him, which they have and they can, we talk a lot about with players and their money, can he stay healthy? But for some reason, when it's a coach, it's like, oh, you're not supposed to talk about that. That's uncomfortable. But like Urban Meyer has had health issues. And like Bo said, it's kind of the same point, but his is smarter, but I'm going to say mine anyway. If you're paying a guy that much money, you would like to think he's going to be able to show up to every game and be healthy and not have some sort of an issue that's going to make the contract shorter, which again is Bo's point that I'm essentially making. I don't like Urban Meyer, and I'm trying to not say that.
Not liking Urban Meyer is a perfectly fair point. Now, Izzy, you talk about what does he have that he could bring. You could talk about culture or whatever. This is one thing I'll say from Urban Meyer. He is one of these dudes that being a broadcaster has made it very clear to me why he was such a good coach. And the biggest thing that will land with me that I've heard him say is, if you do not win, it is not the player's fault. Your players are good. It is your job as a coach to find a way to put those players in a position in order to win. And that seems to me to be a way to win over every single
exactly.
locker room that you have. The weight is all on me if we win or if we lose.
The thing that looks to me like an issue and a problem looks to the owner of a team like an advantage. So I understand that. I'm not naive, but I'm still allowed to be like, eh, this guy.
If you are the Jacksonville Jaguars and you have arguably the most attractive NFL job, why are you picking Urban Meyer? Are you picking him because of what you say, Bo? He's going to bring an accountability to the locker room? Or would you rather bring in somebody that can say, I want to recreate the Kansas City Chiefs offense? Because I know in the NFL, you can turn it around like that. And I know with that Kansas City Chiefs offense, you can turn it around like that. So I'm not really worried about the accountability that Urban Meyer is going to bring into the locker room, because I think the players or the coach that wins will earn that regardless.
They are saying we want the dude that won at Bowling Green and Utah before he won the national champ. Like, let's not act like this dude isn't one of the greatest to ever do it. That's the reason people are willing to swallow everything else that came with him.
How much does he make as a broadcaster?
Not $12 million. And if he does, who is your agent?
Do you see a path for Doug Peterson to fix his relationship with his players?
All right, so there's a big coaching story that might affect the playoffs, which is Kevin Stefanski getting on that COVID protocol list and will not be coaching this weekend for the Cleveland Browns. But that ain't nearly as much fun as what's going on with Doug Peterson. The Philadelphia Inquirer says that multiple defensive players had to be restrained from confronting him on the sideline once they realized they were putting that Nate Sudfeld character into the game. And how is this going to affect Doug Peterson? I feel like he's done in that town, right? Now, maybe number one, you can get all the guys off that had a problem with him, right? This is football that if your locker room doesn't like you, you can go get another locker room. At the same time, this is the kind of thing that makes people look at you different. And it seems that just about anybody who's on that team is going to be looking at them different because they thought they were coming to win. And little did they know, Doug Peterson was coming to do whatever the hell Doug Peterson was doing because he can't even coherently explain why it is that he did what he did. And I don't know if you can come back so easy on that. Now, Katie, I want to ask you if you saw this. Your man, Judge Joe Brown, Joe Judge, whatever his name is, the dude that coaches the Giants. He seemed very, very much so offended by what the Eagles did. Here's what he had to say about it.
There's a number of sacrifices been made by all the players and coaches in this league.
That dude's only 38.
There's a number of sacrifices that come along as well with the family members, the people connected to them. To disrespect the effort that everyone put forward to make this season a success for the National Football League, to disrespect the game by going out there and not competing for 60 minutes and doing everything you can to help those players win, we will never do that as long as I'm the head coach of the New York Giants.
Okay. I get it. He has a point. And look, I thought the Giants players had a point. I liked seeing them tweet specifically about this because this should be something that makes players mad. Like, Bo, you said you can get the guys who didn't like it out of the locker room and replace them with guys who will like it. But you don't want a football team of guys who will like something like this. It seems like we're blowing it out of proportion, but when you think about it, if you're playing a football game, as soon as the thing that you're playing for is outside of the confines of that game, the game means nothing. And that's not something the NFL can afford to do. Say that there are certain games that literally mean nothing unless you lose them. It's just a bad look. And players who have incentive-based contracts should also hate that a coach can control how the game is played in a way that's detrimental to the actual game itself. So I loved everybody calling him out. I'm with Joe Judge on everything he's saying. But the Giants are getting dangerously close here to being the people who somebody does something to them and they're the victim, and then they keep talking about how victimized they are. Your guys' division was a garbage fire. It was awful. It was painful for all of us to watch. And now the Washington football team gets to play in the postseason with that record because of this mess. It's infuriating and it's insulting. But you guys have to move on and make it a bigger point than just about yourselves. Because if I hear one more person who wants, if Plaxico Burress wants to say something about this, it's just done. It's not a Giants problem. It's a football problem.
Yes, Joe Judge looked terrible. And I'm not just talking about the hoodie. However, I mean, he just looks weird, right? He either looks really young or really old. But anyway, he still looks better than Doug Peterson did. Because, and I saw this column on Yahoo that basically said it wasn't much different than what the Pittsburgh Steelers did, which was sit players to put their franchise in a position to win a Super Bowl sooner. That makes no sense to me whatsoever. But even if it did, even if it made a little bit of sense, you're talking about improving from 9 to 6 in the draft. You're talking about, I saw a mock draft that had Patrick Surtain II at 6 and Micah Parsons at 9. That's going to be the difference between you winning a Super Bowl anytime soon. And even if that is the case, at least be on the same page with other people in your organization. You're going out there and you have nobody having your back except for this Sudfeld. Did I get that right? Sudfeld? The Sudfeld guy.
Sudfeld,
excuse me. And Sudfeld is going to be the reason you get fired eventually. So I don't know what he was doing, this kind of YOLO, like Leroy Jenkins thing. I don't know what was going on, but he was clearly on his own there. And yeah, I'm with Bo. It's reason enough to get fired. He's lost respect of everybody.
No, let me tell you this. And Izzy, you know this. As somebody who covers the NBA, if his player, if NBA players have responded to something like the Eagles seem to have responded to that, that dude would have to be fired. Like NBA players, once they're out immediately and you are gone. This might be a type of situation like that, because when the cats can't trust what you're going to do, you're asking people to play this game to risk their lives. Like, there's no other way to put it. And you just told them they were doing that. Why? So you could see what Nate Sudfeld had to offer.
Did Chase Young make a mistake by calling out Katie's beloved, decrepit old Tom Brady?
What's happening?
Yeah, it's... I mean, I'm just saying, when I was a kid, Tom Brady used to play for the Patriots. Now I'm 40 years old, and he's still in the league, and he plays for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And, I mean, Chase Young has killed it this year. He made the Pro Bowl as a rookie, and he said, I want Tom Brady. And somehow people think that old man Tom Brady is going to do like Steph Curry apparently did to the Blazers and take it personal, and then all of a sudden he's going to light him up. No. This ain't going to be about Chase Young and Tom Brady. It's going to be about Chase Young and the two, maybe three people that Tampa is throwing out there to try to stop him. Reality is this, man. If you get heat on Brady, everything changes. That doesn't make him terribly different from the rest of the league, but it does take him down from being a guy as good as anybody we've ever seen to looking like just another quarterback. If there's one thing that the team can do, it is bring heat to a quarterback. I mean, I do not think that Tom Brady is going to be able to Jedi mind trick his way from Chase Young. They're going to have to come up with something else.
40, huh? I don't even see like a single gray hair in there, Bo. You are doing well over there. And you're starting to take those photos. I don't think I haven't noticed. Look, I want to say a quick thank you to Doug Peterson, by the way, for, you know, doing everything we just got mad at him for. Because if there was one player in the NFC East that I want to watch, it's Chase Young in the playoffs. And so I'm a big fan of him. I'm a big fan of what he said. Why? Because this is the one-on-one matchup thing, right? We always try to say, oh, it's this quarterback versus this quarterback. No, Chase Young is going to go get that dude. Doesn't matter what happens behind him. Doesn't matter if they lose 40 to nothing. I bet you Chase Young will fulfill his promise, and he's going to come after Tom Brady time and time again and probably get him a few times. So that wasn't declaring a victory. That was declaring my behind is going to get that guy.
Well,
I don't know why I said behind.
Well, you're right. You're right that Tom's older now, like all of us, and that he isn't going to do, as you called it, the Steph Curry, or as many people are calling it, the Michael Jordan, right? The I took that personal. But we don't remember, like, Michael Jordan said that recently when he was old as a way of assessing the way he felt back then. He had the words for it now. I don't know if he had the words for it then. But if the greatest athlete does that, then there's probably a trickle-down effect to the point where, like, along the scale, every athlete in some way feels that feeling. So Tom Brady will have it no matter how old he is. Whether he's able to execute is the question. What I'm wondering is, do we have video of the event? Can we play it so I can analyze? Because I only read the transcript, and it sure feels like he might have just played the... Do we have tape?
Tom Brady, I'm coming. I'm a Tom.
Yeah, see, my suspicions were confirmed. That is a man who's skipping. He says, I want Tom. He says other things. I'm not going to go too deep into the analysis so I can keep my job. But, like, I relate to that man's feeling there. So it might not be as much anger as you think that it is.
Also, that is a man who totally didn't know that we would hear him say that and it would later be reproduced. No. He was just running around saying, I want Tom Brady on the field, surrounded by people who do not play for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. No. He had no idea we would find this out.
At least when I say it in the privacy of my own home.
Coming up next on my son's TV show.
Five, four, that was last year's award.
Look at this. Yes. Look at this. Oh, yeah.
Highly Questionable is presented by Crown Royal Regal Apple. Great taste is great taste is great taste. Drink responsibly. Part of Happy Hour. Do you question if Draymond's instructions helped this play?
All right, Warriors put the hurt on the Kings last night. Draymond Green's been back for three games. The Warriors have won two of them. He's not scoring a lot, but it looks different when he's out there. They need somebody else that can help them to distribute, and apparently Draymond has found something else that the Warriors need. Here's Draymond.
So what do you think they need, Bo? A giant arrow?
Wow. I have to admit, I hadn't actually seen this part. I thought we were going to talk about something else. And the next thing I know, this dude out here doing kicks.
I'm stealing the joke from our producer, but I don't think that's what they meant by him being a point forward.
Very funny. Yeah, I feel like maybe if Draymond didn't do too much before the play, he could do literally anything after it. He just stands there.
Yo, I love this, though. Draymond has made himself into, like, Bundini Brown, right? Like, the hype man. He's always in Steph's ear. He's always in James Wiseman's ear. Ken Bazemore got to be over there like, all right, so what am I supposed to do then? Like, he's a dap master. That is what he made his whole NBA legend off of. Like, you knew this was bad for the Warriors when they weren't playing well enough for Ken Bazemore to live out his destiny and be the dap master. Instead, that dude actually has to get on the floor and Draymond trying to take his dap master job.
Do you question if this is good parenting from Chris Paul and Dwayne Wade?
All right, so I remember when we first got introduced to little Chris, because Chris Paul would bring his son to the press conference, and we told him, make the Blake face, right? We did that thing like that, and that whole way, I was like, I can't imagine Chris Paul being your daddy. Like, I bet your back is straight all the time. Yes, sir, no, sir, all of that. And this, what we're about to show you, is exactly what I thought it would be like to be Chris Paul's son.
I'll never understand why these kids won't just be kids. And this young man right here thinks that he can make more free throws in a row than me.
Thanks.
That's cap. That's all cap.
It's not cap.
Just be a kid. Just be a kid. You can't beat me.
There he is.
Coming off.
I mean,
2 for 2.
Even given the distraction tactics, he's dead.
3 for 3.
Please note that they have this whole gym to themselves.
I was going
to
say, is this his house?
It might be his house.
All right, he missed.
Got him.
Hold up now. Let me holler at you. Talk to the people. What just happened
to
you?
Here we go.
So I got 4, and then I sold. And we've been here the last 10 minutes watching him make 100 free throws in a row.
How many now?
Oh, my God.
Where's the tape? Here's the tape.
Yeah. Take that L with you.
Yeah,
he hasn't been to an NBA Finals, but does Chris Paul really need wins this badly?
It's just incredible to hear him say, why can't kids be kids? And it's like, who do you think raised this one?
Why don't you just be a dad and stop being one of the best NBA point guards of all time and we're just shooting free throws in the gym?
Because what he did right there is being a dad, and that's what a dad should do. And if you need to see another first-class dad, here is an early nominee for Father of the Year, Dwayne Wade.
5, 4,
that was last year's award.
Look at this. Yes. Look at this. You know how mad I'd be if somebody with that color hair was talking that kind of noise to me? I don't care if he's in the Hall of Fame or not.
I was at a game. It was the finals game, I think, where Kevin Durant essentially did that to Dwayne Wade. Dwayne Wade had an answer for KD. He rolls up that trophy later.
Hold up. This is your reminder. Dwayne Wade, not a great NBA shooter.
No.
Dwayne Wade is a regular person? He don't want nothing.
Amazing shooter.
Oh, he hit him with a dad trick there to take him down. Oh, he's so heated. Oh, I know this feeling. That's right.
I let you in.
You got to hear the final complaint from his son, Zaire.
Wow. You went off a post up. Congratulations.
That is a dad move. Winning off a post up.
I've never played
that game of basketball. Go back and watch.
First of all, you had the most fouls I've ever seen in a quick game.
Whatever. I got the most points you've seen, too.
Got
him. Anybody that questions whether or not this is good parenting wasn't raised right.
No,
this is what father-son basketball is supposed to be.
And weren't paying attention. The key thing there, it's early in the clip. I know it's a long clip. We won't be able to find it. But he's smiling. They're having fun. They're, like, ribbing each other. He's ribbing his son. He isn't berating him, but he is letting him know what's up. What?
No. Dwayne is having fun.
Yes.
I assure you, Zaire is.
But that's parenting.
Not.
Highly Questionable is presented by Crown Royal Regal Apple. Great taste is great taste is great taste. Drink responsibly, part of Happy Hour. Tonight on ESPN, the Heisman Trophy Ceremony.
All right, Devontae Smith of Alabama, probably going to be the guy to win it. But Trevor Lawrence, he is a finalist, continuing a long line of guys that we tend to think is the best player in college football, but doesn't actually win the Heisman Trophy. This is after the Ohio State game where, you know, Clemson caught that beat him down, and this happened in the Zoom.
Obviously, Ohio State played a really good game.
Poor Trevor needs to shave his stash.
Oh, God.
Please mute if you're not.
Oh, God.
Thank you.
Oh, she's right, though.
She sounded like she was just to get to that point,
but she was right.
He knew it. You could see it on his face because he didn't make a joke about it. He was just like, thanks.
Yeah, it's a problem that somebody else didn't tell him before he got there. Katie, are you intrigued?
Yeah, I'm intrigued. I'm also not intrigued, though, by people that are like, oh, that if a man did that to a woman. It's like, dude, look, if we're just talking about things people have been caught doing on Zoom, this is the worst one in the women's column, I think we'll take it.
And trust me, if a man said she needs to shave that mustache, it would go over a whole lot
worse. I've heard it a lot in my life.
I'm not intrigued because I saw the odds and Kyle Trask is such an underdog to win this thing. And I don't understand why. Dude had an amazing season as the Florida quarterback. Yes, I went to Florida. Go Gators.
All right. That is the show. Thanks for hanging out with us. How are you supposed to say things to end this show?
I think you're supposed to say what podcast I host. It's called Sports with Katie Nolan. Oh. Myrtle Combat.
Yeah, yeah. Izzy, what do you do?
Wash my hands. I think that's what he used to say at the end.
Let's talk
about
your
hands.
Well, I'll do lo mein if you can. And a Diet Coke. I just figured he's ordering lunch.